The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for a laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from the heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus.
Please be seated while I pick up everything I'm dropping over here. There we go. I wear my glasses when I preach to give the illusion that I read what I've written. I got to tell you, Curtis and I were talking the other day that it's been a weird kind of spring and early summer for us. We had a number of guest preachers, which was great. They were almost all good. And they actually were all good. It was great. And because of that, there was about a five-week run where Curtis didn't preach, and then there was about a five-week run where I didn't preach, and you can thank me later. And then Curtis and I have been gone for the last three weekends, first to my son's, mine and Priscilla's son's wedding, which was marvelous, and then a couple of weeks in New Orleans with our youth. And so we walked in here this morning, and I don't know about Curtis, but I'm getting to that age where muscle memory doesn't work as reliably as it used to. So like I got dressed, I forgot my mic, you know, just one thing after another. So it's really nice to be back, but in some ways, it's a reminder to me about what a blessing this all is. Like many things, you don't miss them until you're not with them. And so thank you for being here today to remind me of what a blessing this place is in my life. I believe in Curtis's life, I'll speak for him, and I hope in your life. This gospel is a really interesting one in many ways because it's kind of a foreshadowing of what's about to happen. So Jesus sends out a whole bunch of folks and they go visiting different towns. And what's interesting is you'll catch the line, he sends them to the places where he's going to go. So it's kind of, you know, the forward movement of the movement. It's the scouts, it's the people planting the seeds, which is so contrary to the way that we think of Jesus' ministry, because normally we see Jesus planting seeds and then being followed up by others. But this is a little different than that. And then there's this very interesting thing about how you receive hospitality and how you don't, and how the Spirit plays into all of that. And I like the, you know, the dust of your town doesn't even bother me. Well, because every place was dusty, so I hope that, you know. And then Jesus is going to go and kind of fill in the blanks. What it gets me thinking about is, do we still play this role in Jesus' ministry? Are we still moving forward into our neighborhoods and into the worlds in which we inhabit, bringing the good news, bringing the word of God, bringing the joy that we gather from a belief and a knowledge of the Son of God? And my hope and my prayer is that the answer is yes. That somehow or another, whether we realize it or not, we're doing this. Because it's more important now than it was then. Because if you think about then, you could kind of go out, you could kind of make a complete and utter mess of things, but it's okay because, the Son of Light is right behind you. That's good backup. Well, he may still be, but it's not quite as obvious to the people that we interact with now. So we have to be that much more on our game if we really believe that we are called to bring the Word of God, to bring the good news, to bring Jesus Christ into the neighborhood, into the worlds that we inhabit. But to do that, first of all, we have to believe something. We have to believe that it's important. We have to believe that it's doable. Then we have to believe that it's important. And then to believe that we are worthy. That we are worthy of this both amazing challenge and amazing gift. This grace that God has given to us, whether we acknowledge it or not, that we are conduits of the Word of God. That we are conduits of the light of Jesus Christ. So as Christians, as people of faith, we go out into the world, and most people probably know one way or another if you're a person of belief. Looking around this room, I would say that's definitely true, because you probably talk a little bit about it. Not so much. I mean, we're good Episcopalians. We're good Yankees. We're not going to really talk too much about it. But people know that we go to St. James's, or people know that we do whatever. They know the group of friends that we have and how we know them. So there is some identifier that we are people of faith. And so then the next question comes, if that man is a man of faith, well, let me pick a better example. I know Bob is a man of faith, so then by his actions, what do I know about that? What do I know about what he believes? What do I know about the one he believes in? And that is a question that I ask myself frequently as I try to bring my faith out into the world. What is it I'm telling the world about who it is I believe in and what I believe? And that's a different question or a different answer for each and every one of us. The other day, I was in the parking lot at Stop and Shop, the big one down on New Park Road, and I was coming out, and there was an older woman in front of me walking across the parking lot, and I was able to hear the beginning of a conversation she was having with the gentleman who was pulling out in a car. They saw each other. He stopped. He waved. She waved back, and he says to her, he says, "Haven't seen you in a while. How are you?" And she said, "I am blessed. How are you? I am blessed. How are you?" And I thought to myself, it's an amazing sentiment in many ways, isn't it? Because by all the standards of the worlds in which most of us live, she probably can't tick off too many of those boxes. There wasn't probably a lot of wealth. There wasn't a lot of stuff. Whatever it is that the world thinks in some perverse way is a blessing, but she radiated this sense of joy that was unavoidable. You ever meet those people? You don't even have to meet them, you just see them. And you just, the look on her face when she was greeting this friend, just the way she carried herself, just everything about her said that not only did she believe herself to truly be blessed, but that she was. And as I was driving away, I thought to myself, could you say the same thing? In all honesty, would you be willing to respond the same way? Do I believe myself to be blessed beyond my greatest expectations? I know whose I am, I know I'm loved, You know, I've got a great family, I'm loved by a wonderful woman, I have a God who I think actually, despite 52 years, still believes in me. Do I understand myself to be blessed? Yes. But do I live my life like that? Do people who have the opportunity to come in contact with me in the work that I do understand that that is something that I believe? And I'm asking you the same question. Because no matter how hard life can be, no matter how horrendous the hurdles that are placed in front of us become, we are blessed. The problem is our measurement system stinks, so we don't realize it. Elie Wiesel died yesterday morning. And if I'd had more time, that probably would have been what the sermon was on. But I got thinking about it, and I got to thinking about his life, and here is a guy who, as a teenager, was torn, his words, torn away from his books. He was a scholar, a young scholar. Torn away from his books. He, his mother, his father, and his younger sister were taken to the concentration camps. His mother and sister never made it to bed that night. They went straight to the chambers. And he watched his father starve to death. Literally watched his father starve to death. In his book, Night, he talks about his struggle with faith. He was a young man of great faith. He was a young Jewish scholar. There was great hope that he would be a leader in the local synagogue, if not further beyond. And through all the happenstance and happenings of his life, that faith was shaken. For it not to have been would be either ridiculous or a lie. So in his book, Night, he speaks of this struggle to come to an understanding of who and what God is, if God is at all. And what's interesting is what came out of that, which Karl Barth, a theologian of the late 50s and 60s, a Christian theologian of the late 50s and 60s, had a very similar experience. Through all the struggles, the kind of, my words, the Sunday school faith, you know, the resuscitation, the reciting of, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the memorization of the books of the Bible, the, you know, whatever, kind of falls away. And you're forced to deal with the realities of God and life as an adult. And what happened to Wiesel and what happened to Karl Barth, what I think which happens to many of us, is that the faith that emerges looks very, very different, but is even stronger. So you start with a young man who wants to teach in the local synagogue, and you end with the Nobel laureate who believes that God has called him never to be silent in the face of inhumanity and injustice. Now, praise be to Jesus, most of us will never live a life like he did. But nonetheless, faith gets rocked, faith gets shaken, faith gets challenged. And the question is, how do we respond? What is it that we bring in to the neighborhood? What is it that we bring into the worlds that we inhabit? How are we the front men and women for the Jesus movement? Are we the front men and women of the Jesus movement? So, as I mentioned, Curtis and I just got back with a bunch of youth and Kim and Priscilla from New Orleans, and it was interesting because this is all going to make sense when I get done, because he's going to draw it all together beautifully. We spent a number of days working down there. A couple of days working in a school that was kind of beautiful facility, amazing resources, that was kind of in a shambles because of some management issues they'd had. And they brought in a young woman to kind of straighten out the mess. And so we helped her physically straighten out the mess, you know, literally counting supplies and straightening out the library and all that. And it was kind of nice how often you get to work in New Orleans in the summertime in air conditioning. But it was very disconnected from the children of the school. It was very disconnected from the neighborhood. It was very disconnected from the tragedies that not only have hit that city, but that continue to hit that city. And so anybody who knows me knows that I'm kind of a blunt force, kind of hammer kind of guy. And so I was kind of bemoaning the loss of this direct connection. And then the next couple of days were spent with a group called the NOLA Tree Project, who was in the process of trying to replace the 100,000 trees that were lost during Katrina, which have totally messed up what was left of the ecosystem and all kinds of stuff that you can read about later. And they've already done over 40,000 trees, and we worked with them mulching and trimming, and these kids worked really hard in tremendous heat. And at first it felt like a beautification project until we learned more about the importance of what the work was that we were doing. And as happenstance, or as Bob Hoffman so responsibly and faithfully reminded me, it's not happenstance, it's the Spirit of God moving in our lives. Thank you again for the reminder. We ran into a couple of people, a couple of groups, had some conversations, were able to see some things that made all this stuff connect. And I thought to myself, I mean, we are obviously a youth group. Here we are in the back of a mulch truck going down one of the main corridors in New Orleans, unloading mulch from this pickup truck into buckets as kids, you know, dump it around. I mean, we don't look like a chain gang. I mean, we're kind of behaving like one, but we don't look like one. We didn't all have orange on or whatever the color of the day is. And it's obviously, with the exception of a couple of us young people. And I thought to myself, that unto itself is an amazing witness. And the city of New Orleans has become not blind to it, but actually used to it in a very good way, seeing this. Every time we would walk into a place as a group, or I would walk in to buy a meal for a large group of people or whatever, you would get things like, thank you so much for coming to our city. You are a real blessing to us. Thank you for not forgetting that the need is still here. And I was like, holy cow. These kids are part of the 70 without even knowing the 70 exist. They were just, for all intents and purposes, doing what they were told. And maybe that's who we should be. For all intents and purposes, be people who do what we're told, what we're reminded of, the importance and the power of the Word of God. Amen.